They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time. Which is way better than the nice guy's own business.
On board in that kind of quote-unquote new and noteworthy period, right? We didn't make that list, but we exceeded our expectations by leaps and bounds. And it was because of the amount of people we reached out to one-to-one directly that said, hey, listen, we're doing this show. Here's what it's going to be about. I would love it if you listened to it, if you reviewed it, if you gave us some feedback. We want this to be a kick-ass show. That work that actually catapulted us to be in the position that we're currently in.
Cinderella story. Out of nowhere, former groundskeepers about to be the Masters champions. The Nice Guys on Business podcast. Need an education on how to grow your business? The Nice Guys are here to help. Learn about great customer service, networking, and how just being nice can help you prosper. Now, here are your hosts, Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner.
So we're hanging out with Jeff Gibbard, and Jeff is the host of Shareable. Now, what's interesting about Jeff is Jeff has had this he's kind of playing the hokey pokey with podcasting, but to a degree which is really cool because a lot of smooth, cool things have happened in not only his business, for his podcast as well. So this is a special season of the Nice Guys on Business podcast. This episode is probably episode 20 or 22, somewhere around there for this season of POP, Podcasters on Podcasting. So Jeff, I know that you woke up today, you especially did your hair just for the podcast. So if you're not catching this on video, you may want to go back and check out the video stuff if you're only listening to the audio. Jeff, welcome to the Nice Guys on Business POP special season right here.
Doug, it is so great to be with you once again. You were guest number one on Shareable. I don't know if you remember that, but you launched Shareable. Literally, I have nothing without you.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, or you would have started the numbering at two, I guess.
Yeah, that would have been we can't publish that. We'll just go right to two.
So let's back up just a second. So you started Shareable in, I think we discovered that it was somewhere around 2017, maybe 2016, somewhere in there. But you got in. What was the original intention of getting into podcasting to begin with?
Yeah. So if I'll just give you like the 20-second that leads up to that, is that I actually had four podcasts before that, all with some very, very kind of like the very standard level of success that I think by, you know, data has shown what most podcasts have. You know, maybe they get 100 listens on an episode, maybe on some you get 5 listens, right? So like I had a show for my agency called the True Voice Media Podcast. It was called Conversations. And it was very similar to the format of Shareable, very similar in a lot of ways to the format of Nice Guys. It was just conversations with interesting people. Right. And I had that and it kind of was like, meh. And what happened was I got contacted by C-Suite Radio about, they liked our show. They discovered it. They said they're trying to build up their catalog and they wanted to bring it on. And I thought it was weird to bring my agency show on. So I came up with a new show called Shareable. And I was amazed that the name was available. And what we decided was, is we wanted it to be something that we could be really excited about putting out, but that was also super valuable. And the two interests that I really have that I'm super fascinated by are people and technology, which pretty much covers almost everything in life. But I am fascinated by people, why they make the decisions they do, how to influence people, why some people are good, why some people are evil, all the spaces in between. So people fascinate me, mentorship, leadership, sales, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then there's technology, which I've been a geek since I was a little kid. So I said, you know what, I'm going to put together a show that talks about the impact of people and technology on our lives and careers. And that's what I launched with on C-Suite Radio. And we stayed with them for about two of our seasons before we decided to leave and just kind of do our own thing. And I have lofty plans of starting my own podcast network one day.
So people tend to get into podcasting for one of a few reasons. One, they want to do it to build influence. Second, they want to do it to build a community and share their message. And third, they want to do it to make money. So if you had to pick one of those three that you kind of got in as an idea, again, building influence, building community, or making money, what would you say would be, and I'm okay, I'll throw the first stone here. I mean, I was all about the money. I mean, for me, I didn't care necessarily about building a big community. I had a message, but I didn't necessarily even care about sharing my message if I could make money with my podcast. So when we first got in, that was the intention. How about you? What did you want to do?
Man, that's a tough one. I think the closest one of those three that I would say it is building community. And that's because I think my podcast, cards on the table, man, my podcast is purely a selfish motive. I like talking to people. So for me, jumping on and having the chance to share a half an hour with someone who's just absolutely brilliant and knows how to do
coaching, free coaching.
Yeah. I mean, it's free coaching. It's also just, It's a learning experience, man. It's like reading a book. You're reading the book of somebody else's life and experiences, and you make a new friend, right? Like you and I met because of podcasting,
right?
And I make it a point now and again just to reach out to you and be like, yo, man, what's going on?
Right.
Because I love your face. I love your podcast. I love what you and Strick do. And it's great to keep in touch. And we've helped each other in, you know, even in just little ways of referring each other guests or bringing each other on to talk to each other, sharing and comparing notes. So for me, I just think that the actual benefit of doing it itself, for me, it's never been about the money, which is probably to my detriment. Cause I think if I had that as a goal, I probably would operate differently. And in some cases, maybe have more success with the show. But, for me, it's all about the people, man. I love making new friends and expanding my network and building a community of people that I can reach out to and be like, yo, I need advice on this, or how can I help you with that, or whatever.
So has the path that you've been on, is it different than when you started? I mean, was it the expected path from the very beginning to where it is right now?
No, not at all. So because of my previous experience in podcasting and the level of like quote unquote results I got from it, the number of listens, the number of like comments, shares, et cetera, like I had very low expectations going into Shareable. You know, candidly, I would have been really happy if any episode got like 100 listens. Okay. I would have been like thrilled. So the fact that we're now, you know, upwards of 60,000 downloads on our show, over 80 some odd episodes is like, to me, it's staggering. Like those are numbers that, and you know, when I think about the stuff that you've been able to do with Strick on Nice Guys, I'm absolutely floored by the numbers that you guys are putting out.
We are too. We have no idea how that's even happening.
Yeah, right. And so, but I mean, I think that's kind of like just at a different level. I think my experience is probably very similar. Like the first time that you saw that you were approaching 1 million downloads, like it probably like something popped. You were like, "What is happening?" So when I saw, you know, that we had crossed the 60,000 download threshold, I was like, "This is actually a class of success." And for people who grind and grind and grind and work to actually put out content and do stuff and are met with, you know, crickets, like nobody paying any attention, to actually be in that small class of people who have achieved some modicum of success, it's, you know, it's nice. It's validating that like you have something that's worth it.
Well, talk about that for a quick second, because I think what's so important is somebody would say, okay, well, at 1 million downloads or at 100,000 downloads or no matter the number, how do you determine success? I can't go into Wells Fargo and cash a download. So it's not like the downloads represent anything other than an ear that has been listening to an episode. But unless you're able to actually convert that to something. So maybe spend just a moment talking about the importance or the lack of importance of the numbers, and then what numbers actually mean. I mean, what are the important metrics that you use to determine whether your podcast actually has been successful for you? I know you've just been recently through a huge transition or an acquisition or something with your business. Was your podcast at all a part of that? Or if it was a part of that, you know, what role did it play?
Yeah, man. So for me, and I think your question helped to frame this part really nicely. So if your goal is money, then those numbers need to lead to that objective, right? If your goal is influence, then your goal, then your activities and numbers and metrics that you follow need to lead to that. For mine, it's community, right? So I can list off right now like 15 people that I met through podcasting that I can say, I can literally call these people. I have their phone numbers. I can sit down and just talk with them about stuff. I can ask them advice. You know, I can ask them for signed copies of their books and they'll write them personalized for me. And I obviously buy them from them, but I'm just saying I have these relationships now. So for me, that's my number one metric of success. And then kind of to the part that I was just alluding to, the downloads, the listens, where I actually, the validation, the reason why those numbers are important to me is that they validate that I'm not just getting that one aspect of the relationships from podcasting, but that also other people are getting value from it. And for me, again, because I have a day job, I'm part owner in a marketing agency that's world class. Like we're crushing it in what we do on the day-to-day basis. The podcast isn't a part of that for me. The podcast is mine. It didn't come along with the acquisition when I sold my company. So the podcast is like my thing, and it's my thing, again, to build my community and grow my network. And sure, it'll lead to business and it's led to opportunities and, you know, but I haven't really focused on that. I guess the point is that when people come up to me and they're like, yo, I listened to your episode, like somebody, a friend of mine came up to me and was like, hey, I listened to your episode number 69 with Joey Coleman. And it was about the customer experience. He's like, that blew my mind. I've listened to it like 5 times and I've sent it to other people.
Wow.
If I have one of those a month, it validates the entire point of me doing it above and beyond just the joy I get from doing it.
Right. Right. So how, so it's, if there was somebody that's listening to this right now, and we have a lot of people in our community that are either thinking about podcasting or just getting into podcasting, how do you even determine what your goals are before you get in? Like, if I look back to why we got into Nice Guys to begin with, why we started the podcast, it was all about promoting a book that I had just released in February of 2015. And it was about book promotion. It was about getting me out on the speaking tour. It was about maybe promoting my online course. It was about promoting my coaching business. And it seems like over the last 4 years, the evolution of that has gone completely in a different direction. So how do you even start to set a goal for a podcast? And then how do you adjust goals as you, as your podcast really starts to evolve and move on?
Yeah, man. Great question, because it, all of the points that we're talking about here today really tie nicely together, right? So when you started out, you said it was about the money. So I'm sure even as your path has changed a bit, it's still probably about, like, at some point this needs to deliver some business value for you, because this is kind of your full-time gig among the other things that you do. But like, this is a primary part of the primary. Doug Sandler Move, right?
Absolutely.
So for me, because it was building community, yeah, it has shifted a bunch, but the primary thing that has driven my involvement in podcasts and what I would recommend to other people is to really think about why you're getting into it in the first place. I knew I was passionate about talking to people. I knew that I was going to love interviewing people. I knew that my curiosity would guide the entire programming of what I do, because that's my entire interview style. I basically go, oh, that's interesting. And then I just follow that path. So for me, there was no there, right? Like, it was just following that itch that I needed to scratch of trying to bring on interesting people that I wanted to pick apart and understand. So yeah, my show has changed a bunch in terms of just even the types of questions I ask, the things that I'm looking to pull out of people. I hit a certain point where the questions I was asking, I was just bored with that question. I was bored with how it was bringing the answers. I was like, you know what? Obliterate that. Let's start over. I want to be curious again.
Right.
So I'd say for people that are starting out, I would say there's two things that I would suggest focusing on first. The first is, how are you going to keep going? That's the first question to answer, which is, right. And that comes down to a real deep understanding of who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. So if you know that you're there to get money, how are you going to keep going when you're not getting the money?
Right.
What's going to be the driving force? What's the thing you're passionate about? How are you going to go through the periods of time where nothing is happening or where you're not getting the results you want? What's going to drive you through that? For me, it was curiosity. So it was easy. Because whether or not we got downloads or not, I knew that I was just going to keep going. I know I've got a great brand in Shareable. I've got a great concept. I can get amazing guests. So look, if our download numbers dip, they're going to go back up. So that first thing is, why are you doing it? Second thing real quick is just, you need to be prepared before you go into it. Because I've found that the biggest differentiator between the success of this show and the lack of success relative to the success of this show, the difference between the two was all of the work I did in preparation pre-launch, all of the work I did to get people on board in that kind of quote unquote new and noteworthy period, right?
Right.
We didn't make that list, but we exceeded our expectations by leaps and bounds. And it was because of the amount of people we reached out to one-to-one directly that said, hey, listen, we're doing this show. Here's what it's going to be about. I would love it if you listened to it, if you reviewed it, if you gave us some feedback. We want this to be a kick-ass show. And it was that work that actually catapulted us to be in the position that we're currently in.
Now, I know that you guys had to take a little hiatus from your show because of the whole acquisition with your day gig. So talk about what transpired over that period of time. I think you said it was about 8 months that you kind of left the show up on the shelf for a little while. How was it coming back? For those that are listening to the show, maybe share a little bit about how consistency plays a role in a successful show and what it felt like to come back into the podcasting space after having left it for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, I beat myself up every week that we didn't put out an episode. So my agency was acquired at the end of 2017, and going into 2018, we had planned season 3, and we had a couple like season 2, like bonus episodes before the shift in like what our new format was going to be. And we just kept pushing it off and pushing off. And one of the challenges was, you know, we had a studio where in our, right. in our offices at WeWork, right. we had an office and we had a studio, and the studio was where we recorded. We had great sound. We had space.
I remember you were so very proud of that studio. I don't know.
It was awesome, man. Yeah. Like we had, Caroline was my co-host. She sat right across from me. We had a space for somebody else to come in on the mic. We had a whole Zoom set up. Like we had the whole thing set up. It was great. And when we moved, our new studio, air quotes, is inside of a phone booth in our new offices. The sound's not great. It's right. still not. Right. We still don't have the new studio. And partly, you know, this is kind of the point back to the beginning of like, had I focused on money in the first place, maybe we'd have sponsors at this point because we had the download numbers for it. We could have. Right. We never did that. We never thought about that. And that could have helped fund the cost of editing, the cost of putting together like the show notes and the transcription, whatever else we were doing in the studio. We could have funded that, but we didn't. So then I was like, oh, well, if we're not going to be able to put out really great sound, whatever, then we'll just wait until we can, and we're going to come back to it. We needed more planning. And we were just in this weird hiatus mode. And I kept wanting to come back, and I kept thinking, ah, epiphany, this is our new format and we've got it. And it never materialized until the one day where I said, you know what? Like, I can't right. let this show die. Right. I just can't. I got to redo this. And part of it was I realized I had access to a community of incredible guests that I just was not tapping into. So I basically backed myself into a corner. Here's how I came back. I backed myself into a corner. I went into my community that I have access to that is just 500 people, brilliant 500 people. And I just dropped in and I said, this is a pre-vetted group. You're all incredible. I know you're incredible. You're all working on incredible things. If you want to come onto my show, Shareable, here's the link, sign up. And I booked. God, we've booked like 15 or 20 guests in a matter of, it was like 72 hours. We were booked for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And now I'm currently sitting on like 15 episodes or something that are just ready to go out. And what was really cool that happened along that way is that I think part of it was that the show started to feel a little formulaic to me. So there's a couple shows that are out there that do their right. show is based on like a format, right? Like, so if you listen right. to like Entrepreneur on Fire, like he's got a format, right? If you listen to Hack the Entrepreneur, he's got a little bit of a format. And they're great shows because you know what to expect. And I couldn't figure out if what people liked about the show of my show, Shareable, was that they liked the format of season one or whether they just liked the conversations and what we were getting at. And then season two were the deep dives. So I couldn't figure it out. And what I realized was it doesn't matter because the thing that I got into this for was that I wanted to talk to people and I wanted to be excited and curious, and I couldn't with too rigid of a format. So right. I've started to loosen the grip a little bit on some of those standardized things that I wanted to ask people so that it kind of set expectations. Instead, I was like, you know what? These people are incredible. Let me be the voice of our audience and let me pick this person's brain as a beginner or as someone that, you know, is in my audience's seat, and let me try and just drag right. out as much value as I can from these episodes so people can walk away and go do something. So that's kind of where I've pivoted to.
So coming back from leaving it for that hiatus period of time, was it difficult for you to get back into the swing of it? Did you now, so have the episodes aired yet? The ones that the 15 that yeah. you've already done?
There's a bunch. We've probably released at this point 12 episodes, I think, maybe a little more.
And were you able to pick up again where you left off with numbers, or did you basically start all over again? And
didn't start all over, thankfully, but like we are not where we were. Like we were at the point where we were starting to hit, you know, episode launch day. We were almost in like the 1K range per right. episode, right? Which right. is good for us. We were really happy about that. That's in right. like the upper 10% of podcasts typically don't get those kind of numbers. Typically, like 500 downloads or better is kind of where you want to start to get to the point where you're like, oh, well, we're one of the popular ones. So we dropped down from about 1,000 to almost about 200 downloads right. per episode, right. which was crushing because I was like, oh, we just shot ourselves in the foot. We had this momentum. We had this audience. We had this momentum to it, and we just lost it all. And now we're just steadily building it back. And it's crept up. We're back. We're halfway to where we want to be. I would say we're getting there.
When it comes to some of the third party stuff that you could you could farm out to other people, what's the stuff that you do yourself, and what's the stuff that you give to other people from a technology perspective? I mean, do you do all yeah. your own editing and social promotion and all of your own post production stuff? And did you create the template of the show yourself, or did you leave that to somebody else to do?
So all of the strategic planning for the show I do myself, because that's my favorite thing to do. It's what I do in my day job. I'm a strategist. Solving problems is my thing. So when it comes to how we're going to promote our show, I designed that. When it came to what I want in the flow of the episode, in terms of like intros and outros and interludes and anything like that, I provide a lot of input to that. The actual pushing the buttons and clicking the mouse and doing the things, I don't do a single one of those things. And that's partly by design, because what I realized is that I've hit a point in my career where if that was going to be a thing that was going to be on my plate, this would be a show that would probably die on the vine, because I simply can't prioritize something that I put money into to do. I just can't put additional time into something I'm already putting money into.
Well, what do you say to the guy that's listening to this, or the woman that's listening to this, and says, well, I just don't have the financial resources to hire a production company?
You gotta do it yourself. Like, I'm at the point where I can afford to do it, and it's not a lot of money, right? I have an intern that helps me to put together all of the show notes, upload the episodes to Libsyn, do all of the kind of that stuff. I have an audio engineer who's a really good friend of mine. He works primarily in music, but he is very easily able to edit our episodes, and we've worked on our audio setup so that there's less and less for him to do. So like, we've made the system pretty tight.
And before you go on, just talk, maybe just share just a quick second just about something that you just mentioned, the system. So it sounds like it's not just a hodgepodge of these things coming together at different ways. It sounds like you know what your recording is going to be like, you know what your post-production is going to be like, you know what all the template of building your show is going to. So just share just a moment about the importance of having some system in place, regardless of whether you do it yourself or through a third party.
Yeah, it's legitimately one of the most important factors in podcasting. Like, I think everybody thinks that the most important thing about podcasting is getting great guests, or they think the most important thing about podcasting is that they have like an amazing concept or something. Like, nothing could be further from the truth. Sad to say, like, if you look at like the most popular television shows being something like, you know, the Kardashians and all this reality TV show garbage, like, there's not a lot of value in that, but there's a ton of listeners. So what your show is about is important, but it just needs to be something you're passionate about. The system is how you actually make sure something gets put out into the world.
Right.
And I think, so I advise a lot of people on starting podcasts, really just not professionally, just people that are like, hey, I want to start a podcast. You have a successful one. Like, what do I do? And the thing I always focus on is the system. Is here's the tools that you need. Here's the way you're going to record. Here's how you're going to export it in a way where you have maximum flexibility and the minimum amount of work. Here are the people that you need.
Right.
All of those things are super important. So in terms of, I guess part of the reason why I'm able to design the system that I want is that, kind of to what you were asking before, I used to do everything. My first podcast, I recorded, I edited, I did all the promotion, I did start to finish everything. And now I'm at the point where, thankfully, I have the resources to be able to bring in others to help. But what I do is I give them a very clear plan of what that looks like. And I'll give you just a great example of what that plan might look
like. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So promotion is among the most important parts of your podcast, right? Because if a blog falls in the forest and nobody's there to read it, did it happen? Right. With a podcast, like, if you have a podcast that's out there and you're not telling people to go listen to it, like, what's going to happen? And admittedly, I'm terrible at promoting my own show. But if I think we're getting to the point again where, so Caroline is often too busy to be doing this, but when she does, she was incredible at it. But now we're trying to map that system onto a new set of interns and people to help. But the key is to make it as clear and easy to follow as possible. It's a step-by-step process. So here's an example. We record an episode. What should come out of every episode is the following. We have the episode. That episode should go onto YouTube as a full video, right? There should be clips, at least two or three of them, of quotes from either me or from our guest that you can pull out the quote. You can create an audiogram on like Headliner where you put the quote over top of it and you create an audiogram. Then you can do a still image in Canva where you take the quote, you put it over the image with the headshot of the guest, et cetera, et cetera. You need all the templates set up in advance. You need the system for how to do it set up in advance.
Now, keep in mind now, as you're listening to this, do not let what Jeff is saying overwhelm you from walking out of the gate, because this is not the system that he's like, okay, before this show actually gets to air, this is all the stuff that we're going to have in place. All of these things that Jeff is talking about are coming as a result of him having years of experience, us having years of experience with understanding, okay, we can have a podcast and we can have it out there in the world. And yes, it's important to promote it. these are some of the I would say the French pastry, the little bit of the gingerbread that he's adding on to. Now that you have it, like you said, now we want people to listen to it. So sorry, I didn't mean to stop you, but I think the biggest concern
is... Yeah, no, it's a great point because it can sound daunting.
Yeah, totally yeah, right.
So you and I are in this, right? Like we do this. Podcasting is like a thing that we do regularly. Like there's not a week that goes by now where I am not talking to at least one guest and or going on and doing a solo, right? So... we're in this. So because of that, it's pretty easy for us to just shoot from the hip and talk about 15 different ways to promote it. But at the outset, this wasn't how we always promoted Shareable. And it certainly wasn't how I promoted previous podcasts. But what I would say is that it is actually pretty easy, relatively speaking, to set yourself up with a system that allows you to do something that sounds as complex as what I'm describing. So if you just go into Canva.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And you create three different templates for Instagram posts. All you have to do is you'll just duplicate it and you just drop in the new content. You put in the guest's headshot, you put in a new quote, you're done.
Even if it's a matter of doing something like your episode comes out and it airs and it's through iTunes, you're taking the link from iTunes and you're dropping it directly into Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and it automatically populates the photo and everything through the link itself. So even if you're not doing anything other than just taking that link and dropping it into social media and letting that populate and share with your community, that's one way to do it. And oftentimes just doing that and promoting it through the guest that's on the show by sharing with them the link itself. I mean, those are two really basic ways to promote your, I know we're getting a little bit granular here, but I think
it's really important too, because I want to acknowledge you for this, because this is something that you did that I now do. And I got to say, it's a brilliant thing. And you just brought it up. But when you had me on as a guest, you preempted our interaction by saying, hey, it would be really great if you went over, like listen to a few episodes, figure out what we are, and then leave a review. That would be really helpful. And then I'll let you know when the episode comes out. And then after the episode was coming out, you sent me a kind of a prepackaged
set
of things. So you made it really easy for me as a guest.
I stole that from somebody else, by the way. So just
I mean, I was going to say, you're the most brilliant man I've ever met. So it's obvious you can come up with that yourself. But the point is, I stole it from you because I was like, why haven't I thought of that? But you made the... For me as a guest of your show, you made it very easy for me to go and promote it.
Well, and as a matter of fact, it's just, I'm sure I had taken that idea from somebody else, but it is a matter of creating a system so that everybody that comes through your turnstile, and we've done, you know, nearly 900 episodes as of the recording of this, and 600 of which have been interviews. And it's like, okay, now we've created some small things that have been slight improvements from one episode to the other. And we're just building on the system. And for us, simpler is better. We, you know, while Jeff has this great system, we don't even go to that extent. We are just putting out so much volume. It's like we're overwhelming the market by putting out all of this volume, that for us, it's just, even if we just promote it to our own community and to the guest that was on the show and have them expand it. And that seems to be, you know, key for us. You're going even to the next step than we go to in creating audiograms and YouTube videos and all that stuff. Again, as you're listening to this Nice Guy community, as you're listening and thinking about podcasting, don't get overwhelmed by the fact that there can be a lot. Yes, there can be a lot. There can be probably 50 more things that even Jeff and I aren't talking about right now that could be ways to promote your podcast.
Let me just say one more quick thing about that. Yeah. So just for anybody that doesn't know me and what I do, like I'm a social media marketer by day. So of course, this is the way that I'm looking at this is I'm thinking of all the different channels and all the different strategies we employ. So yeah, to kind of to your point. And then I also just wanted to, you asked me a question before that I totally didn't answer, but I'm just going to say like 20 seconds on it. You asked about consistency.
Right.
And I would say, you know, I learned that a lot from you, that consistency is incredibly important, that the number of episodes that you put out and the consistency specifically with which you put it out is a major determining factor in success. And we saw that in our first season, we put out more episodes more frequently than any other time. And we saw the greatest growth at the time where we were putting out more episodes per week. And now we're at the point where we're one episode a week and sometimes two. And we know that when we're consistent and when we put out more episodes, our download numbers go up. And as a podcast listener, ever since you told me that, I've taken note of the successful podcasts that I follow, that they are generally the ones that are most consistent. Because what happens as a listener is you go to listen to it, you go to listen to it, you go to listen to it, and then all of a sudden they're gone for a little bit and you forget about them. They fall out of your podcast routine. Right. So I just acknowledge you on that one as well.
No, I appreciate that. And what was great, and Strick and I have kind of experimented through the years, and we're 4 years into our show. We started at one episode, we went to two, we went to three, and we went to five episodes a week. And for a very short period of time, I think maybe a month or two, we went to seven episodes a week just to see if that would bring in more listeners or lose listeners. We actually lost listeners as a result of doing seven episodes a week. We overwhelmed the people that were in our in our community.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is you have to find the right mix 5 days a week for us. Now, this is our sole source of income. So for us, and if you're listening to this, you're like, five episodes a week, I could never do that. We didn't start there. We started at one episode a week, and we started to see that process grow. And when we started to make money, we're like, hey, shit, if we're making this kind of money at three episodes a week, let's try to go up to five. When we went to five and we were actually exponentially growing our income, like, this is great. But that to us was like the cap off point from there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So what's your next step in podcast? I mean, is podcasting a business development tool for you? Is it lead generation? Is it a way to just, again, continuing to build your community? Where do you see it as the next thing for your company?
So there's two things that I want to get out of podcasts moving forward. And that's to build on, it's two new things to build on the existing thing, which is that it's still always going to be about talking to interesting people and building out my network of great people, because I think that will long-term help me as a human being. But the very next step, I think, is about increasing my influence within certain particular topic areas. So I'm writing a book right now on leadership called The Lovable Leader. And my goal is to become more well-known in that space. And that's so that I can move myself into a space where I can generate more income from speaking, which is one of my favorite things in the world, is to jump on a stage and talk to an audience of people and, you know, really let myself let loose a little bit. And
so much better to make money from your pajamas at home, though. That's much better.
Kind of awesome. Yeah. I would like to, you know, make more of my income from content and speaking than I do. So that is kind of a longer term plan. But I would honestly like to make some money from the show itself directly, and not a lot, just enough to cover its costs and maybe put a little bit of change in my pocket. And only because I think that then makes it easier for me to sustain it.
Right.
Because right now it's purely an expense, and it's an expense that I happily fund. But I'd like to at least get it to the point where it's earning some revenue so that I can continue to fund it and continue to do things. So that is the next step.
Well, that is a great teaser. I haven't yet promoted any of the things that we do through this season of podcasting, but there is a landing page that we have. It's called yourcompanypodcast.com. If you're listening to this right now, I think this is the first time in 25 episodes that I've actually mentioned this, only because I did not want to use this as a marketing piece, but it's like, it's the perfect lead in because
you're welcome.
most of the time people are getting into podcasting and they feel like, you know, 99% of podcasters don't make any money. The 1% that do, probably 99% of them don't make enough to sustain the show, let alone sustain a lifestyle. One of the things that we've really gotten into is these five ways that you can make money podcasting. Obviously advertising and sponsorship is one. That is a way to get over that hump and be able to pay for the production costs. And I'll share a couple of tips with you right after I hit the stop button. I don't want to give away all of my secret sauce right now, but if you do want to get a hold of five ways to make money podcasting, yourcompanypodcast.com is the way to do it. We'll make sure we put a link in the show notes to that as well. And it's been an amazing ride for us. And I can't believe that, you know, we're 4 years into it, 900 episodes. I think probably by the time that this airs, we'll be ticking over the 3 million download mark. It's like, it's ridiculous. I love the fact that we've been able to build a business this way. But again, it's just a matter of doing things consistently, keeping ourselves in a system, associating with guys such as yourself, Jeff, that have built successful shows. You know, all of that is the stuff where success is made. So while we kind of wrap up here, what is maybe a gift that you have gotten from the podcasting space that you didn't expect? Now, we all have a shelf probably full of autographed books and all sorts of great relationships. But is there been an unexpected gift that you've gotten in the podcasting space that you did not expect when you first got into it?
this one would be truly, truly an unexpected one. So you've had the opportunity to speak with my producer, Caroline. And So Caroline came to me as an intern when I had my previous agency, and she came to me as an intern. And on, I think it was on day two, I said, you know, what's your thing? Like, what are you into? What are you interested in learning about? And she was like, I love podcasting. I was like, okay, you're the producer of my podcast now. And through doing that, that was before we had Shareable. It was when we had just the True Voice Media podcast. And she came with me through the process of beginning Shareable. And then she became the producer of Shareable. And then she became my co-host on Shareable for a little bit. And probably the most exciting thing that came out of that is she and I actually just went to New York yesterday for a client meeting. And along the way there, she was talking about how being a co-host and a producer on that show was one of the most pivotal moments in her career. And it taught her empathy skills and active listening skills and all of these things that are really valuable to her in her current position.
Right.
And she's so appreciative of having had the opportunity to fulfill this dream of hers, which is to work in podcasting and help to produce it and do this work. That for me, like when I set out to start any sort of podcasting, and even when I set out to start Shareable, and even when I got her involved in Shareable, I never considered just how big of an impact that would make for her. And as someone who derives so much of my satisfaction in my career and my work from my work as a leader and working with my team, that was one of probably the most rewarding gifts that I could get, is that feedback from her about how impactful that was for her.
Yeah.
And just, you know, being able to provide the space for that to happen for her was really just a joy for me.
Nice. Well, yeah, impacting other people's lives, it certainly has been one of the things. Impacting our own lives have been important, but imagine the impact that you can have on somebody else's life by doing something like that. And then I've gotten to know Carolyn over the last couple of years, and she is she's amazing. She wrote a blog article a blog post that we've actually still have on the Turnkey site.
Yeah.
So feel free to go there to turnkeypodcast.com. And man, Jeff, I love watching your progress, everything that you've, you're a guy that's built a successful business. I know the podcast was not necessarily the priority for you when you got into the business. You see what value the podcasting space can provide, and it's great to build your network. So thanks for sharing everything that you've done, your inspiration, your motivation, and getting involved in the space as well. It's kind of cool to watch your growing up in this business too.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And you know, you've been a really valuable mentor for me, and I appreciate any time we've been able to sit down and talk about podcasting or life or whatever. So, thanks for having me on again. And looking forward to us, continuing to stay in touch over the many, many years, and can't wait for us to do this again in a few years. And you've got 10 million downloads under your belt.
I will take it. For every download, $1 will come along with it. Right. So if I can get
hopefully
10 million downloads, $10 million again, I still don't think Wells Fargo will take it. So even if you have no listeners as you're getting involved in this and you're listening to the episode here, just know that there's plenty of room for growth with you and nice guy community. Never underestimate the power of nice. Special thanks to Jeff Gibbard for being on the show. Again, check out his show. It's called Shareable. And you will see a little gap of time where he didn't have episodes, but he is back. He's full strength. And I know that he means business now. So thanks again, Jeff, for being on the show.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
For the Nice Guys on Business, I'm Steve O'Brien. You know, I've done opens and closes for these bozos for 400 plus episodes. I've moved, I've had plastic surgery, I keep renewing the restraining order, but nothing has worked. They keep on finding me.